It's about as close to religion as I can get. Church and all that. Just being out here and feeling small and kind of wondering at the mystery of it all. No matter what you believe in, when you're in a place like this, it's just in your face.
This week on the Nature Stories podcast, we go in search of open spaces. The Nature Stories podcast is curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. I'm Samantha Brown. This is the last piece from Stories from the Heart of the Land, the public radio series about people and the natural world. Here's series host Jay Allison to tell you more.
Finally, a story from producer and reporter Elizabeth Arnold. She depends on nature to fill her need for austerity, to give her room for reflection. And according to Elizabeth, she needs a lot of room.
I'm out here in the Chugach Mountains, and it's snowing. It's been snowing for about a week. The mountains and the ridgelines are, coming in and out. One minute you can see everything, and the next minute all I can see is the tips of my skis. Anyway, I live here in Alaska because it's a big, empty place, and you can ski for miles like this and never see anybody. It's about as close to religion as I can get, church and all that. Just being out here and feeling small and kind of wondering at the mystery of it all. No matter what you believe in, when you're in a place like this, it's just in your face. Oh, there's a bull moose behind a tree about 50 yards from me. It's just hunkered down in the snow. It's got snow on its face and back. He's not going anywhere, but I better. Woo! A little downhill here. I think people need space. Or I do anyway.
So what happens when you put someone like me in a place like China? A country with a quarter of the world's population. Something like 350 people per square mile. Well, I mean, forget the sheer density of a place like Beijing. Even rural China, it's just swarming with people. I was at this open-air market in Hadapu, and there wasn't any open air. Even when I was inside this Jeep, driving along, I mean, you look at the map and you look for open spots where you think, you know, there's no names, you think there's no cities. There are. There's just no pause in this relentless march of factories and power plants and power lines and dams and people. The people and the land both look exhausted, totally worn out from being so productive for so long. I read somewhere that Americans need more personal space than any other culture in the world. And it said 24 and a half inches. That's just 2 feet. I mean, that's not nearly enough for me.
Okay, well, that was a long day. I'm now here in my little room with one light bulb. But nobody's staring at me, and I don't have anybody to stare at. So we drove way past midnight tonight, and even that late, the headlights would flash on these men crouched at the side of the road. There were just all kinds of people still out, brushing their teeth and washing their hair all in the road. It's just so crowded. Anyway, it feels good to be in this little room right now.
The next day, we drove through what used to be, or what they said used to be, a grassland, and it was the first open space that I'd seen in weeks. There wasn't any grass. The whole place had been grazed to dirt, completely overgrazed, and just trampled into this wide expanse of hard, cracked mud.
Shanga!
And we pulled off the road onto this mud to get around this Tibetan construction crew, and they blocked us. So it turns out this barren, overgrazed, so-called grassland is protected land, and we were assessed a fee for trespassing. So open land in China, it seems, no matter how degraded, is at a premium. Then we go up and over this pass, and there's a government-sponsored billboard encouraging family planning, and it's towering over this little shantytown underneath of these highway workers. And the sign is a picture of this smiling Chinese boy holding hands with his parents, and underneath it says, "Use contraception because China's future, our children, need room." The need for room and space is the one commodity China doesn't have. And it's the one commodity that all of China's people can't manufacture. So then I went north of all of this humanity to Outer Mongolia, which is a stunning contrast because it's the world's least populated country. I took the Trans-Mongolian Railway from Beijing to Ulaanbaatar. The terrace slopes and the brickyards and the dams and mines and power plants of China all gave way to sand. My eyes just rested on the horizon and I relaxed for the first time in weeks, just looking out the window at nothing. So there I was in another jeep in the far northwestern corner of Mongolia, which is about as far out as you can get. And there are no roads. And there are names on the map, so you think you're going someplace, but there are no corresponding cities or even dwellings. There's nobody. I was crammed in a Russian jeep with seven Mongolian herders in their bright blue robes and orange sashes and one small child and one freshly killed sheep on the dashboard in the sun. And the jeep kept breaking down, and I looked around and thought about it and realized there's no possibility of help.
I'll try to get out of the wind here. I'm trying to use the jeep as a wind block. I had to get out of the jeep. It's just getting a little too crowded here in Outer Mongolia. We've been in this jeep for a long time. Everything imaginable has happened to it. And the driver keeps taking it apart and putting it back together again. And we don't have a clutch. Still have steering. But it keeps overheating, so even though it's freezing, when we get to the top of a hill, we turn around and face the wind and open the hood. And then we sit here like this for hours. And they all play cards. So I always thought I wanted to come someplace really remote. Kind of having second thoughts about that right about now. Oh, there's the hood. We gotta get in. Okay, let's give it a shot.
So there's no road, and this treeless landscape of brown hills just is similar hour after hour after hour, and despite all of our stops and starts, nobody but me seems to be in any rush to get anywhere.
No, we're pulling off the road again here. Bad sign. Okay, well, now I guess we're going to play cards again.
After many more hands of cards, we finally did arrive at a tiny yurt high up in the mountains, and the Mongolians all hurried inside. Seven people, one small child, in this small canvas tent with a dirt floor. I mean, it's a tiny little tent, and it stinks, and it's smoky, and there are no windows. And yet, they, for days at a time, wouldn't go outside. And looking around, as we were slurping in another meal of mutton soup, I realized there were no windows, save the hole in the center of the roof for the stovepipe. And these people, still partly nomadic, live here in this remote, spectacularly scenic place, and yet they had no real desire to go outside or even look outside unless they had to. They spend more time with each other than most people do. It's almost because it is so vast and empty, it makes them more people. But for me, it's completely different. I couldn't wait to get out of the yurt. And when I did get out, I went right straight up into the mountains and started feeling better with every step. Being out in open places, that's what makes me feel good again. And then later that night, on the dirt floor in my sleeping bag, the Mongolians were snoring and shifting positions in this close circle of cots all around me. At one point, I looked up at the stars through this tiny hole in the roof and thought about Alaska and being on my skis and the quietness of the snow. And I realized I need open space. That's just who I am.
Elizabeth Arnold, who lives in Anchorage, Alaska, where she spent the summer building a cabin on a remote island. Anchorage can get too crowded for Elizabeth.
Thanks to Jay Allison and Emily Botine, who produced the Atlantic Public Media series, Stories from the Heart of the Land. And thanks to Bill Frizzell, who composed and performed the music. The Nature Stories podcast is produced with support from the Nature Conservancy, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. If you'd like more information on the series or the podcast, go to nature.org/stories. From Woods Hole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown. Thanks for listening.